For those who I do not know, my name is Nick, and I get the privilege of being one of the pastors here at New Hope. And for those watching online, we are so thankful that you decided to worship with us today. If you haven't been here over the last few weeks, we have kicked off a series called Worth the Wait. And we kicked off that series that first week talking about Mary. How Mary knew that what God had in store and invited her into was worth the wait, but not just wait, W-A-I-T, but also wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. She didn't know all the details of what God was going to do in her and through her, but she did know the outcome because she knew her God was faithful. Then the second week, we got to celebrate some amazing things in the life of New Hope. We celebrated what he has done in the midst of New Hope, but what he wants to desire to do. And we have seen those things took a moment for it to come to fruition. But we also recognize that it has been worth the wait. Then last week, Pastor Adam preached the message. I'm going to be honest with y'all, I did not like. He kept telling us how to wait well. And let's just be honest, we don't want to wait well. For those who ventured out to South Point yesterday, you didn't want to wait well. But yet there's something beautiful that happens in the midst of the waiting. And the waiting is a part of the plan, and it's a part of the process. He quoted this, and I didn't like it, but I think it's worth repeating. He said this: we were reminded that a faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Woo! A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. As we started this conversation about God's plans being worth the wait, his ways are better than our ways. We started off in this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, that says this: but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. That verse just explains to us that it is truly worth the wait. We're going to continue to explore this in the narrative of God, and we're going to see that all God has in store for us is truly worth the wait. And we're going to see that through a motley crew of shepherds. To walk us through this journey, y'all help me welcome our student pastor, Andrew Pano.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. How are we? Good, man. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm excited to walk through God's story with us this morning. But as I'm thinking about the Christmas story, as I'm thinking about these shepherds, I can't help but think about the shepherds as a lowly occupation. That the shepherds really didn't have a whole lot of status. They didn't have a whole lot of glamour. They didn't receive a lot of money. It was really considered a lowly occupation. That these were just ordinary people trying to do their ordinary work, that they really didn't have a whole lot to gain in this scenario. But as you walked in this morning, you may have received those message notes. You may be on your Bible app, and the title of today's message is Ordinary People with Extraordinary Plans. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 today, verses 8 through 20. But I want to visit what Pastor Nick had just said previously. He actually introduced me as the student pastor. And honestly, that really caught me off guard. If I can be honest, I really didn't think I would be here standing on this stage with you guys today. You see, my wife and I actually moved here from Seattle almost 2 years ago. And if you've never been to the Pacific Northwest, it's exactly how you think it is. It is rainy, a little cold, but it is my hometown. I'm happy to be from there, but I'm glad we traveled those 3,000 miles all the way to Durham, North Carolina. We packed a few things in shipping containers, and then, yes, we drove those 3,000 miles. We took a whole week to do it. We made some stops along the way, saw some family along the way, and it was an incredible journey. One of the reasons why we decided to head out this way is that we were just ready for a fresh start. We felt like God was calling us to a little bit more. We felt like the Lord had placed a specific calling on our life. But if I can be honest, we were just ready to kind of live that ordinary life. We wanted to find a house. We wanted to start a family. We wanted to just kind of live in that ordinary day to day. I was actually finishing my degree online. And so I was getting ready to just kind of do the thing, right? And so I found myself in an ordinary job. I was actually making cold calls to government offices all across the country. Riveting. I would call random government offices trying to sell software, trying to help their businesses grow and thrive and do all the things. And really, it was just ordinary. And we found ourselves settled in this small town, and we decided, like I said, find our place, find our people, and we stumbled upon New Hope. We decided to walk in the front doors, and as soon as we did that, it felt like home. See, we decided to come here and make this our home church, and I had some ministry experience back in Seattle, and very quickly, I realized that the Lord was doing something in my ordinary life, that something bigger was gonna happen here at New Hope for me and my family. And I think that's exactly where the shepherds found themselves. They found themselves in an ordinary situation. They found themselves on an ordinary night. And to me, that's where we pick up this story. That's where we're gonna start today in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Our first point this morning I want us to jot down today is God wants to reveal his glory in the everyday. God wants to reveal his glory in the everyday. I want you to think about your average work week. Maybe some of us have those ordinary jobs, right? We go to those meetings, we send those emails, we have a task list that we're trying to knock down. Maybe for some of us, we work a blue-collar job, right? So you have to lace up your boots every single morning, you're hanging drywall, you're pouring concrete, all these little tasks in your ordinary, everyday life. Maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, and there's tons of tasks that you have to do, right? You have to get the kids ready for school. You got to pack the lunches. You have to do homework again. Who knew you had to do homework twice, right? There's all these ordinary tasks that you have to do. And this is where we find the shepherds. And verse 8 clearly lays out that this is just an ordinary night for them. They're probably just sitting around counting sheep as they're half asleep. They're probably making sure that they're fed, making sure one doesn't get away. They're just doing their ordinary life. And then all of a sudden, the Lord shows up in extraordinary ways. I want you to hear me when I say this morning. God is with you in your ordinary. For me, so often, I find myself trying to long for that burning bush moment. God, when are you gonna part the seas for me? When are you gonna clearly be here in my scenario? But yet, church, I wanna tell you this morning that God is with you in your ordinary every day. He's with you during the student pickup, during those homework assignments, every single part of your everyday, the Lord is with you. And I think that's a great reminder for us this morning. Let's continue to read in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This is the second point that I wrote down this morning. Jesus was not just born to Mary and Joseph, but to you as well. I'm gonna say it again. Jesus was not just born to Mary and Joseph, but to you as well. You see, the language that the angel uses is so specific that he wasn't just born to Mary and Joseph. Yes, they were their child, but he was born for you and me. He was born for the shepherds. He was born to us. He was born to save us. And just for a moment, I believe there's quite a few of us. How many are parents in the room? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Quite a bit of us. Imagine that you bring home your brand new baby boy or baby daughter, and you have to give that child away to somebody else, to something else. That's insane. Could you imagine an angel showing up and saying, "Hey, this is actually gonna be for somebody else"? It was to us. Jesus was born for us. He came for us. It wasn't good news for just you. It wasn't good news for just me. Today, the Messiah is born, not to Mary and Joseph, but to all humanity. He was born for the lowly shepherd, born for you and me. But the angel gave them a sign. The angel said, there's gonna be a sign that you know that this is the Messiah. And that leads me to my third point this morning. All babies are swaddled, but not all are lying in a manger. That was the sign to them. You see, 3 months ago, my wife and I, we actually brought home our first baby daughter. Her name is Layla. And you can make some noise for that. Come on. Layla is born. She's here. I'm a dad now. I think she's sitting over there somewhere. But it was an incredible moment. 3 months ago, it's been an incredible journey. Getting to father Layla has been a treat. And she's perfect. She is literally perfect. She has her mom's eyes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She has her mom's eyes. But it is an incredible time. And I can think back to those first couple hours, right? When you're in the hospital, you're really trying to, as the husband, as the dad, you're really trying to make sure that everything's going well, right? There's only so many things I can do, but I'm doing my best, right? Do you need water? Do you need another pillow? Do you want me to rub your feet? Do you need ice chips? Do you need more water, right? There's like only so many things that I can do just in those first couple hours. But as the time comes, I'm so excited that I get to look at my baby for the very first time. And there's a moment that comes for every dad, okay? There's a moment that comes for every dad, and that moment's where we decide if we're gonna be a superhero. You gotta prove to your wife that you can be a good dad, right? There's a moment where you say, you know what? I have to care and take charge of this family. I gotta make sure that this baby is safe and secure, and here it comes. Every dad takes pride in their swaddle. You have to swaddle that baby tight. Make sure she's nice and cozy and make sure that she knows that dad is there to keep her safe. And so the time has come. I've watched the nurse swaddle this baby a few times, right? A few times. And she's like, you know, getting the arms in and getting that thing tight. And I'm like, all right, it's my turn. I've watched you do it. I've watched a couple YouTube videos, right? I think I know. And Layla was really tiny. And so the Velcro swaddle that we brought was too big. And so I'm like, man, this is like the real stuff. This is the real deal. I got to swaddle this. And so here we go. I'm trying trying to get her arm this way and kind of get, you know, tucked in and make sure she's good. Nurse, can you please like help me like put her thing in? And really, like I said, you got to make sure that thing is tight because all of a sudden you see a hand creep up and you're like, no, don't wake up. You're safe. I promise you're safe. But as I'm swaddling her and as she's laying there perfectly, there's a moment that my wife and I share, and we get to look at what God did. We get to look at this beautiful new baby. How incredible that moment is. I asked you not too long ago how many parents are in their room, and so I want you to think back to the first time that you got to hold your brand new baby. How precious and special that moment was. And then for a moment, I want you to think that you place that baby down in a dirty barn manger. Why did it have to be that way? You would never place a brand new baby in this filthy feeding trough where barn animals eat. You would never do such a thing. Why did it have to be that way? Why would you put the face of God in this dirty manger? It doesn't make any sense. Why would he be in a barn? Does anything good come from Bethlehem? Lord, I thought this was supposed to be the Messiah. This was supposed to save everyone from Roman reign, from Jewish culture. This was supposed to be the moment. And here he is lying in a manger. And I didn't put this in your notes today, but I want you to write this down. He was lying there at his lowest point to identify with us in our lowest moments. It had to be that way. Jesus the Messiah placed in a manger for ordinary people just like you and me. We have access to an incredible God. We have access to a God that was placed at our lowest points. That way he can identify with us in our lowest moments. As we continue reading in verse 13, it says this: "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about.'" This is our fourth point this morning. The weight of this news causes us to act. The weight of this news causes us to act. You see, at the announcement of Jesus' birth, all of heaven opened, praising his name, because finally, 400 years of silence is over. Finally, something has happened. Finally, the Jewish people can be set free. Finally, for all people, the Messiah is here for you and for me. And so much so that it causes heaven to burst out, "Holy, holy is the God Almighty." This news caused us to act. It causes the shepherds to act. The weight that we carry has caused us to act for 2,000 years. 2,000 years we've been echoing in eternity that we get to act on this great news. And my question for you this morning is, are you willing to act on this news? Are you willing to go out of your way to say, "The Lord is here. He is my King. He is my Jesus. He was placed in a manger for us"? You see, the shepherds had a responsibility that they had to go act on this great news. We're gonna finish up our time in Luke chapter 2, verse 16 through 20. "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which had just been told to them." Our final point this morning is this: we carry the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. I'll say that one more time. We carry the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is verse 19. I can just picture and imagine what Mary is going through in this moment. That she's looking at her new baby boy and she realizes that she's looking at the face of God. She's pondering all of these things in her heart. I can see that she's looking at such a miracle. She's looking and thinking about all of the things that have happened as she's placing this swaddled baby in a manger. And I can also picture Joseph saying, "That's a swaddle fit for a king." I've been waiting to say that all week. But as we continue to look, as we continue to carry this extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary, my question to you is, how are you gonna carry forward knowing this news? Knowing that God uses ordinary people just like you and me to accomplish extraordinary things. What does that look like for you? What does it look like to take a next step in obedience? Maybe for some of us, it is coming back to our Christmas Eve services. Just that simple step. Maybe for some of us, it's taking the next step in baptism. Maybe for some of us, it's joining a life group. Maybe for some of us, it's serving in our middle school team. Shout out to Pastor Adam, who said that they take better notes up there than they do here. What does it look like to take a step in obedience? The shepherds returned to their ordinary lives, praising the name. What does it look like for you to take that weight into your ordinary lives? Would you bow your heads with me as we close this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that you came the way that you did, that you can identify with us in our lowest moments, that God, the extraordinary came down and dwelt among us. Lord, I pray for those or thinking about the next step, God, I pray that they would act in obedience, that they would carry the extraordinary into our ordinary everyday lives because, God, you chose to do it that way. And so, Lord, thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, we love you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Will y'all help me and encourage Andrew? There were several things that he said that resonated with me, but the last thing he said, the last point he said is one that I think I'm gonna think about for a while, and it was this: we carry the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. And we see the shepherds do this in a beautiful way. It says this in verse number 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let me read it again. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Do you notice what scripture doesn't say? It doesn't say that the shepherds return begrudgingly because of their busy Christmas schedules. It doesn't say that these shepherds were burdened by all the dinners and all the kids' shows and all the things. No, it doesn't say any of that. It says that they beheld the king and they walked from that place forever changed. They recognized that now they got to hold the extraordinary. Them who were considered so ordinary got this opportunity to behold something that was extraordinary. The same is true for you and I today, everybody. So often I'm reminded that this season in particular, the reason why I begrudgingly go into it is because I'm holding on more tightly to the ordinary and not the extraordinary king. That I am telling God all the things and reasons why I'm so busy and why this season isn't what it shaped up to be. But as I look at my life and observe, a lot of the times my posture is that way is because I'm holding on to the ordinary. Just like these shepherds had an opportunity, they had an opportunity to surrender ordinary and behold extraordinary, and they did it, y'all. The same invitation is open for us today. So here's the question: are you gonna keep holding on to ordinary, or are you gonna hold on to the extraordinary gift that God gave you through his son, Jesus? And guys, I can't think of a better way to remember that we in the midst of this carry extraordinary in the midst of ordinary by taking the Lord's Supper together. If you didn't get the elements, we have some of our ushers who are available to give you some of the elements. And this meal is for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, who have said yes to his grace, who have said yes to his mercy, who have said yes to the invitation to be a part of his family. And this is a family meal. And it's beautiful that on a day like today that we would pause and remember and hold on to this picture of extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. So if you would, I would invite you right where you are, please stand with me. As Jesus many years ago was sitting with a very ordinary group of people. If you don't believe me how ordinary they were, you can go back and read their stories, y'all. They were ordinary. But yet here Jesus on his last day was sitting with the most ordinary. These guys weren't following any other rabbis. These guys were second picked. And here he was, revealing to them of how he was going to ultimately fulfill all the prophecy that they had heard since they were young. So in the upper room, before he goes to the garden, before he is beaten, before he is crucified, he takes a meal with ordinary elements, the unleavened bread and the wine, and he goes, I'm gonna reveal to you something extraordinary that's gonna happen that I am going to bring about. So he takes that bread in their midst And he breaks it and he says, this bread represents my body that will be broken on your behalf. And they took it and they ate. And with the taste of the bread still on their lips, I imagine he grabs that cup of wine and he raises that wine in their midst and says, this wine represents my blood that will be poured out on your behalf. And they took it and they drank. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you're still in the business of taking ordinary and making it extraordinary. We are a picture of that kind of grace. Lord, thank you for the story of these shepherds, very ordinary people doing very ordinary things, but yet in the midst of their ordinary living, you invited them to an extraordinary life. And Lord, thank you for the way they responded to that invitation, beholding you, and they left there forever transformed because they saw extraordinary in their midst. Lord, I love that you were born in a manger, very ordinary and lowly, but yet you changed the essence of the world. Lord, you came and sought us in the midst of our mess, and you turned all of our messes into a masterpiece. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may we be a people that hold this extraordinary gift of who you are and your gospel and share it with all who are on our path. Lord, thank you that you've invited us as ordinary people to behold what is truly extraordinary. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. And Jesus, we pray all these things in your amazing, amazing name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.